on the other hand, that is like the power thing where men have to put.
But now
women
you're not
down.
Seeing a boob.
Yes, I know. But like, they feel better because they're like standing taller, so really? To speak.
But
they're standing on someone's boob is what they're doing.
But take a position on it. Either you want to be an asshole or you want to see boobs. You can't do both. You know what I mean? You cannot do both. Choose one. And if I were a guy, I would choose boobs. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
And we know what we're doing. We've been doing this for 350 plus episodes. So, yes. All right. So everybody who knows me knows that I enjoy a bad musical.
You do. And love a bad musical. Love a bad anything.
I love a bad anything. Yeah. So some friends of mine have invited me to get tickets for not opening night, but the preview. Mm-hmm. So like the dress rehearsal, I guess, of Escape to Margaritaville.
Yeah.
The musical. It's like 22 to 25 Jimmy Buffett songs.
What?
Strung together.
No.
For a musical. During previews, they ran out of triple sec. And they couldn't make enough margaritas for all the people. Who would know that the crowd, the parrot heads, would want margaritas.
Parrot heads.
So the parrot heads are people who are Jimmy Buffett fans.
Okay.
You may have seen them when we were kids. They were the ones that like were wearing Hawaiian shirts, having a good time.
Yeah, they were the ones that started the tiki party.
Yes.
Those were the fun parties that you had in the summer with tiki torches when they were used responsibly.
Responsibly. People used to dress like captains, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, it was a little Gilligan's Island looking. But parrot heads are people who are really into Jimmy Buffett. They are dedicated fans. I didn't know that Jimmy Buffett had more than three songs. I know Cheeseburger in Paradise from white people.
Yeah.
From being around a lot of white people. Yeah. And also there's a Wasting Away in Margaritaville. And I think there's another song that I've heard too.
There's something about a sharks to the left, sharks to the right.
Sharks
and then you're and it's like dee 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 dee. And like that's not the tune that you want for when you have sharks.
But the parrot heads. Okay, who knows how they do.
Yeah.
All I know is these people party, they drink hard, and they're now probably in their 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
So they're getting up there.
Yeah.
But Jimmy Buffett has opened up, he has a beer brand, all right, Landshark, it's called.
Yes.
He has casinos, resorts, and then the retirement community that we...
Right, we talked about this Margaritaville, the retirement community, where it's like just... It's not assisted living?
No, you have to be 55 or better.
Yeah.
Is what it says to live there.
Or better.
55 or better to live there. So in the spirit of me being invited to see the show, and I will report back, I cannot wait.
Yes.
Every time I go, I saw Bridges of Madison County, awful, enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, terrible, also enjoyed it. So I like to go see shows quickly that are bad before they close.
Okay.
So in the spirit of that, I decided to look up some historic and epic fails for our somewhat epic fail. I thought this was a segment, but it is now today.
This is a segment we did once that was yes, lost in the ether.
It was
epic
a fail.
Fails.
So this is epic fail Broadway.
Yeah, okay.
Epic fail Broadway. So these are some musicals that, I don't know if you remember this one, Big.
Big, the musical. Yeah, I remember that.
Did you see it?
I did not see it, but I remember it.
Probably didn't have a chance. Okay, so it was in 1996. It was an adaptation of the movie Big, which when you go back, that's one of those movies that does not do well in the rewatching.
No, not at all.
It's like Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
For different reasons. You go back and you watch it and you're like, this is kind of like shady.
There's something terribly wrong
with
everybody's ethics and morals and like the way that the standards are. Like, this is considered normal. It's not normal.
Okay. Yeah. It's not normal. So this is Big. It was, the reviews weren't bad, but people just didn't go.
Yeah.
Like no one went to see it. It was criticized also as propaganda because apparently F.A.O. Schwartz was one of the producers of it. So it was like a big advertorial, I guess.
Well, they certainly got theirs.
Yeah, and now they're gone. They closed in 2015, so I guess that didn't really work out. Another one was, I didn't even know this happened, in 2006, High Fidelity.
High Fidelity was a great movie.
Yes, it's Stephen Frears' film, High Fidelity, and it's with John Cusack. I don't remember who else is in it.
Jack Black.
It's like really great acting for the time.
Yeah.
I mean, John Cusack probably kind of fell off a little bit.
Yeah.
I keep seeing things on Netflix, and I'm like, really? That came out in 2017?
Yeah. Like, High Fidelity, he was still passable.
Yes.
And then...
then he kissed
afterwards, kinda, it was like... Once he got into the horror movie about the room in the hotel, I was like...
That's all he does now. Now he plays the creepy old guy on the camping trip. And you know it's him. He's like the Ed Harris. Like, he's in a movie, like, he did it. He's a serial killer. He's eating everybody.
Yeah.
So apparently the opening scene for this musical, High Fidelity, was nothing's great, but nothing's new, and nothing has worth. Apparently it was a flop.
Oh.
People complained because the lyrics were obscene.
Obscene?
Which is weird for Broadway and weird for a musical. Like, Broadway is generally, even if you see something like, you know, Book of Mormon or Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson... it's, they push the bounds, but not too far.
Yeah, and also, like, something like the Book of Mormon, you know who is bringing it to
you.
Yes. It's Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Yeah, from South Park. You have an idea.
You know it's going to be highly irreverent and insulting.
And edgy, right? But it's not, they're not dropping F-bombs all over the place.
Right.
Apparently with this, the bombs are raining down, and people were like, it's too much.
Well, yeah, because they're just doing it for shock value then at that point.
Well, they shocked
themselves. I don't even have to hear it, and I understand why.
They had 13 performances, so they shocked themselves right off of Broadway. 13 shows? People have any idea how much money it takes to bring a musical to Broadway? It's ridiculous. So this was one I didn't know. In 1988, of course I was in eighth grade then, Carrie, the musical, was on Broadway. Apparently, the opening scene was the song and dance number featuring a pig slaughter. Because, you know, there's a scene where Sissy Spacek gets the pig blood.
Right.
So the opening scene to that was about slaughtering the pig. I guess they went for the backstory of how the pig blood got there. Because everybody wants to know.
How did
the blood get there?
Yeah. Where did they get the pig blood?
Where they get it from? A slaughterhouse. Let's sing about it.
You're kidding.
So they brought it to the stage. It cost $7 million, which at the time... it was a lot of money.
Yes.
It closed after 16 previews and 5 shows. Shortest run in Broadway history.
Wow.
It came back in 2011 as a revival off-Broadway.
A revival.
With camp. That's where it needs to be. Something like Carrie, you do it off-Broadway.
Yes.
Like, you know, a queen getting pig blood spilled on him after dancing and singing about pig blood. That's good, like, you know, on Bleecker Street or whatever.
Right.
Like, not so much on Broadway. So here's one that I'm really upset about. I don't know what the date of it was. I don't know what happened. The Fly.
Did we miss The Fly?
They brought The Fly to Broadway as a musical.
I'm a guy who is now a fly.
But it's David Cronenberg's The Fly.
Oh.
So it's not the original The Fly.
No.
It's the one with Jeff Goldblum. That's very graphic.
Oh,
like where he's throwing up on things.
Oh, right.
And
eating
and stuff like that. So apparently it wasn't musically compelling. Who knew? And at one point, I saw the picture of the guy. It looks, he's dressed like a maggot, and he's crawling across the stage singing. This is not, it just looks like some trash. Some
like
detritus.
A bag of trash.
Yeah.
It is moving.
Moving across the stage. Then the other one, this one I remember, Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark. Remember that?
Yes,
everyone was getting killed.
Yeah, that's right. It was very dangerous. All the Spider-Man were like, he had to keep... shooting webs across the theater, and he would swing across the theater, and the rigging was bad, and something
at one point, they said someone had a small piece of their foot amputated, it got stuck in something.
Ooh.
Like, I remember that SAG and AFTRA were like, we can't do this.
Yeah.
We're losing people.
And also the director, it was a woman who was the director. She was getting a lot of
She was getting flack.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, with, like, Katie and I love theater.
We do.
And we enjoy any kind of theater, but you don't need a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could have, in Spider-Man, you could have just suggested a web. It's theater.
You have to
show every single thing.
Yeah.
Right? That's the whole
magic.
Well,
they had to have some kind of pizzazz or something.
How about good music? Good book? Lyrics?
Well, remember with Phantom of the Opera, they had the chandelier
that
came down.
And then Miss Saigon, they put like 20 helicopters on stage.
Yeah, right. So they need some kapow. And what they did was swing a Spider-Man around.
What I understood is that in one of the shows, a guy got in. Like, during a show, someone got injured.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, work that out. So it had a weekly budget. And this is what I don't understand. Even though I took production, right, I didn't get into it at this level. $1.3 million per week to keep Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark on stage. $1.3 million. What a waste of human resources and, like, just every kind of resource.
Oh, right. Yeah. And, no, You know where a lot of that money went?
Where?
You two, because freaking The Edge did the score for it. And The Edge from You Two did all the music.
With all of that, with Bono, with The Edge, it's a comic book. It's like it's a popular film.
Yeah. You're paying a lot of people.
But you still couldn't get it off the ground?
I remember at that time I was rehearsing for something else. Mm-hmm. And I left. And as soon as I left the rehearsal space, everyone was like, oh my God, The Edge came out. He was rehearsing in the same, like in the room next door to
but
us.
But he was saying five times more.
But he was 1.3 million. I left and then The Edge comes walking out. I'm like, doo doo doo.
Yeah, oh, sorry. Clean up after yourself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, these are some epic fails. I don't,
everyone else met The Edge. I didn't.
I wouldn't recognize those guys. I'm still angry because it took me like a month to get their damn album off my iPod.
Yeah. Oh, remember when they did that?
It's still, I didn't know it was still on. I thought I'd gotten rid of it. Yeah. I tried to get rid of it again. It keeps coming back.
Listeners, if you don't remember want you, this, you two donated one of their albums to iTunes.
I call it imposed.
It was, yes.
It's not donated if I don't ask for it.
Yeah, right. They put it in the downloads, automatic downloads. So everybody, when you went to download your stuff like you normally do, here comes you too.
Meanwhile, I'm struggling to get my own podcast downloaded every week because if I don't do it regularly, it's like, are you done listening to this? Yeah, I'm like, listening. I'm making it. But no, you too is on the. So I will definitely report back. I am so excited to go see Margaritaville. Okay. I'm going to get the most parrot head outfit I can. We're going to get margaritas before. And they better have triple sec on the day when we're there. I tell you, you're going to hear about it on News 9.
Yes, because that'll be our segment, which brings us to our new segment called Out in the Field.
Yes, Out in the Field.
Out in the Field is when we are either apart from each other or together go out and see something in the field.
It's kind of like Barnyard News, but for people. Yes. And it's us.
And it's
all right, so what do you have?
So that's I'm bringing you the segment now. Okay. Out in the field.
Out in the field.
Yes. Yeah, so Jaquetta and I went to go.
Your man on the street.
Yeah. Jaquetta and I hauled our asses to Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah. To the Well.
To the Well
in Brooklyn.
It's an
awesome bar.
Yes.
Very wonderful bar. Venue. Huge. A lot of bathrooms.
Yeah. That was
incredible. Like a high school. Like, you know, when you go to a high school bathroom, there's just like rows and rows and rows of stalls. It was awesome.
Yeah. So there are plenty of bathrooms for everybody. Yeah. But we went to see Cinema.
And it was awesome.
Yeah. Cinema is the band. I'm sure you've heard their music because they generously donated the use of their music for our podcast.
The opening and the outro. And we've had them on before.
Yes. Yes. So we went to hear them play.
It was awesome.
Yeah. They were great. They were great. The other bands were great.
Yeah. It was interesting because, so, Katie and I are of a certain age, and so were most of the bands.
Yeah.
But then there was one band that was young.
Yeah, they were cute. They liked to whip their heads around, and we're like, you have a short window of time. Yeah. Keep doing that.
Do it now.
They were banging their heads, whipping their heads around in circles.
Yeah, they were really good. They were really energetic. So we went to see excellent live music. It was very loud in the back room at the Well.
Yeah.
We come out, so say we got there like 8 or something like that. It went on for like a couple of hours. We got out at midnight.
Yeah.
So the bar is outside. So we've been going back and forth, you know, getting drinks coming, not really paying attention to what's going on in the bar. After the show's over, we come out, and there's like 100 people, but it's quite quiet.
Yes, it was. You could hear a pin drop.
Because it was a silent disco.
Right. Have you ever been to a silent disco, listeners?
If you have, I'd like to hear about it. Our experience was, now keep in mind, it was already late. Beers had been had. Yeah. So we were in a festive mood. And Katie and I are like, let's try it.
Yes.
Let's not come down on the young people.
Right.
And sniff our noses at what they're doing. Let's see what people are doing.
Yeah, let's see. Let's be objective.
So for $20. So for 20 spots. 20 spots. We got headphones and they had three channels on them. There was red, blue, and green.
Green, right.
And they corresponded with three DJs who were in booths, tiny booths next to each other.
Yeah.
With headphones on, and they are competing, I guess, to have us listen to their channel.
Right. And whoever channel you're listening to, your headphones would light up the color of the DJ.
Yeah, so you can see who's, like, the most popular at that time. So what I thought was interesting is, and it made me feel really old, that I can remember when you would go to a club and everyone would listen to the same music out loud.
Yeah.
And if you wanted different kinds of music, you would go to the other floor. Like, if you wanted industrial, it's like, go to the top floor.
Yeah.
If you want, like, freestyle...
Go to this
floor.
Yeah, yeah.
So everyone's dancing. They didn't appear to be that drunk either, which I found strange. Because most people, it's like, dancing, you know, you need some social lubrication for that.
Right, right.
There was not a lot of fooling around.
No. not a lot of sexiness
No, it wasn't sexy. But what there was, if you took off your headphones, was a lot of, like, it sounded like Walking Dead. So yes. Like I'm not moaning because you have people saying like, "What?" And then someone else is just singing like Selena Gomez.
Right.
You know, someone else is singing.
That's like the beauty doing a rap. Of when there's loud music playing and everyone's listening to the yes. same thing, you can breathe heavy and dance.
Yes.
And then you can randomly shout out whatever lyric you
yeah.
know.
Yeah. Or lyrics you don't know, in my case. Just yeah. think what you know, what you think the lyrics to Bon Jovi are.
Yeah.
And you just sing those.
Yes.
You know?
Right. But here it's dead quiet. You just hear heavy breathing. And somebody randomly shouting, like, brick house.
Yeah, or whatever.
Or whatever it
it's
is.
It's like, some people are fist pumping, other people are doing the Dougie, you yeah. know. Some people are, like, cha-cha mambo.
Or it would just be like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like,
it was strange. Now, they looked like they were having a good time. Katie was more in the field than I was. You did ask people. The young
yes,
people.
Yes, I did. I went to a what group of young people, and I asked them, I said, well,
do you excuse think, me, young people.
I did. I said, do you think this is fun?
Yeah.
Are you having a good time?
Yeah.
Is this something that you do? And they're like, well, it's our first time doing it. And yeah, it was fun. It was fine. We do it again.
Okay. I thought the price was steep, though. 20
yeah,
bucks.
20 bucks.
So for $20, I feel like when you go into a club, there should be... So these DJs, not to say anything negative about them, but it wasn't like they were mixing and scratching.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They were playing... music.
And all the music kind of melded into yeah. each other, but they did play those songs
like we weren't
in their entirety.
Yeah, and we weren't introduced to anything new. So that was one thing I liked when I was younger, going out to a club. You could hear new dance music
right.
that you not necessarily would hear on the radio
right.
or anywhere else, like new cuts of something, a new track, or whatever. Like mm-hmm. they would debut music. This was kind of stuff that even I had heard before.
Mm-hmm.
And come on. Like
I know. And we're all like doing
yeah,
YMCA.
Like Katie and I are not that, you know, we're not out of it, but we're not also on the cutting edge. There wasn't a single song that was played. Even the rap, I was like, no, I got this.
Yeah. So it was all kind of generic music?
Yeah, it was very generic. But you're trying to get as many people as possible to listen to your channel.
Yeah.
Right.
But it does nothing for your love life.
No. It didn't. It was not sexy. I didn't see any young people kind of getting romantic in any way because you can't talk to each other because you're wearing headphones.
Yeah. And then you don't look that great wearing
nope.
headphones.
Nope. You don't look that great. And then when you take them off, it, like I said, you have that Walking Dead sound. And that is not sensual.
Conducive to
no,
anything.
It is not. You're not going to be getting down.
I have one thing that this is a bee in my bonnet that
okay.
has been in my bonnet since probably the 90s.
Oh, really? Okay. It's an old bee.
It's an old bee.
It's an old ass bee. Okay.
It's, people want you to come out to listen to live music.
Yeah.
But they always say the doors open at 8. And then there's, you don't know when the bands are coming on, what the running order of the bands
yeah.
are. So.
I guess it's never going to change, though. Maybe they don't know.
But it's got to. But it's got, I think that's just.
That you need to know when people are coming on.
Yeah, you need
yeah.
to know when people are coming on, or at least when the bands will start.
Yeah.
You know, and I understand sometimes, like, the band will be late and someone
or you
want to
wait
till
the room. Fills up. But I think what happens with that mm-hmm. is that, so it says doors open at 8, no one knows. So then people are like, why don't I want to get there at 8?
Yeah.
So people come later, and then I think the bands are waiting.
Yeah.
Also, for the room to fill up.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like...
Yeah, so it's a big waste of time, basically.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
waste
yeah.
like an hour and a half of people's time. So for us, in New York, we could be seeing a show at 7.
Yeah.
Like a comedy show that one of our friends is in.
And then come and see another show at 9, see
yeah.
the band at 9.
Yeah.
yeah.
And go and listen to the band's play. So it's a huge waste of time.
Yeah.
And then it makes me angry in the way that it's like, you can't, like all other shows, like if you're performing, they all start
yeah,
at this
you're right.
at like comedy starts on
I
time.
I wonder what that is.
Broadway
about.
Starts on time. Plays start on time.
Maybe there's some bizarre, because like neither Katie nor mm-hmm. I are musicians.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some, I don't know, we'll have to ask some musicians. Maybe
yeah.
there's something to that. Maybe there's always some extenuating circumstances with equipment
yeah.
or getting people together. But yeah, that seems odd.
Yeah, but I mean, if you put on a show, there's props, there's lighting,
yeah,
there's
yeah.
all kinds
no,
of things
I get
going
it.
On. You have to put on your makeup, you have to be ready to go.
Yeah,
you
at a certain
can't say,
time.
I'm just not done
what
with
about for
makeup?
The bands, too? What if they've got a couple of gigs?
Yeah.
That night, and they
yeah.
need to, they're like, I need to, it says 8, I'm here.
Yeah, because comedians, they'll be like, I'm doing a show at 8, I'm doing one at 11. I'm running
yeah.
over to the Comedy Cellar, and I'm going to do a 1 o'clock set.
Huh.
So other people are beholden to start on time, and I could see like 10
well,
minutes, 15
comedy,
minutes.
Comedy, yeah. I did a show recently. I'm back on the same people.
Yes.
I actually have, I'm doing Una, who we've had on the show before, has asked me to host her show. That's coming up in April. I think it's April 9th. Yeah, April 19th. I'll put out some more information about
cool.
it that's here in the city. So I'm not hosting, but I am doing some comedy
nice.
On it. And her shows always start on time.
Yeah.
And they're awesome.
Yes,
they're
and she's
good.
Awesome.
She's
I love
awesome. Her. All right, so That's our report from out in the field.
From out in the field.
Hey, you know it. It was funny.
Signing off. No.
Signing off.
No, we're still here.
It was funny, but I have some good pictures of it. We looked good.
Yeah, we did look good.
Because, you know, we were softly lit.
Yes.
Extremely softly lit. Only lit by our headphones.
Yes.
So I thought we looked fantastic. Because you can't see anything.
Yeah.
All right, what do you have?
I have here, this is a listener, well, this is like a listener Facebook reach out.
Okay. Ooh, I like that. A Facebook reach out. Is that what they call it?
That's what I'm calling it.
Okay. A reach out.
In the moment.
All right.
I like it. A Facebook reach out.
So how do they reach out?
On Facebook, they said Katie Kazmir and Jaquetta.
Oh, they tagged us?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is from listener Lauren G.
Okay.
And she sent a link to an article called hashtag saggy boobs matter.
Yes. We had a brief discussion about the saggy boobs thing.
Yeah.
All right. Hash it out.
All right. So saggy boobs. So there's a 23-year-old.
Who, by the way, is gorgeous.
Award-winning British blogger, better known as Slumflower, and she's the driving force behind Saggy Boobs Matter, an online movement that challenges unrealistic expectations of what breasts should look like.
Let me just back this up by saying, I have seen lots of breasts in my lifetime because I went to women's colleges, I worked at summer camps, I'm a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Some women do have perfect breasts.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've seen these before and been like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So, sorry. It happens. It's just not us. And it isn't.
Like, what do you mean? So
there, I've had some friends who don't have to wear bras.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how is that possible?
Yeah. Yeah.
I had to wear a bra when I was like 12. They were already sagging.
What are you talking about? Because they're small or are they big?
No, they're firm? Just firm.
Yeah.
Not even small. It happens.
Yeah. There, it's just however the boob shape takes
place. Yeah, I didn't think it could happen.
Some people have the teardrop boobs.
Yes. Or some people have, as I refer to these sock, the tennis ball and a sock.
Right. Yes. Yeah, but sometimes this woman is very young. She's 23 years
old. Yeah, and beautiful, by the way.
And
the only thing about her that might not fit into a classical beauty standard is her boobs. This is my issue.
Yeah. So people are making these young women feel bad.
About their boobs?
About their boobs. They know they're saggy and they're this and they're that.
That's not new, though, is it?
The packaging would always have a picture of a white woman with perky boobs, yet when I try on the same bra in my correct size, my boobs wouldn't look like the model pictured.
Did she think they were going to?
At the
I'm sorry. This is a young
but
person.
Women are putting, like, part of their financial plan is getting a boob job because they feel like that their boobs are...
Part of your financial plan could be getting a good bra.
Yeah.
That's what I do. All right.
Well, saggy boobs are underrepresented,
mm-hmm.
and it makes you feel alien to society. This fosters insecurities, and people don't have the mental strength to see the value in themselves beyond other people's standards.
What do you mean they're I feel like I see saggy tits every day of my life, and I'm not just talking about when I get up, people.
Yeah.
I mean, like, really? Like, where is...
Yeah, okay. But
this is young people.
Is, but men feel like they can just call it out willy-nilly.
Like, you mean like those are saggy boobs?
Or just, no, post things on social media. They had one guy was like, he posted four pictures in a quad, like a quad format.
Okay.
Of different women. One had saggy boobs, one had really saggy boobs, one was perky, and one was like perfect.
Okay.
And, you know, saying it like, it made some disparaging remarks about
The boobs?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I've known quite a few guys who are really actually into saggy boobs.
Yeah.
Because generally, a saggy boob is more boob, is what I've been told by guys. Do you know what I mean? It's hard to sag as an A cup, a B cup. But once you hit above a C or D, you have no choice but to sag. It's called gravity. Right?
They're always going down.
They're going to go down. Where do you want them to go? Up your nose? Do you know what I'm saying? Like out to the left? Like, you know?
Oh, with those pictures that I was just referencing, the photo was compared to a dying phone battery.
Okay.
Meaning, like, you know, this is...
I know, but the reality of it is, some people start out with that dying phone battery tits.
Yeah.
That's not... So, this guy has it all kinds of wrong. First of all, there's nothing wrong with any of those kind of boobs. But also to think that everybody starts out with perky and then ends up towards saggy is not the way that it works.
It doesn't, yeah.
Some people never have it.
Yeah.
I had a friend who was 50 years old at a board of ed. She wasn't even in good shape. you would have thought that she ordered her boobs online.
Yeah.
They just went like that. Now, the rest of the body
was
something
story.
Else. But she had great tits, and so she worked with that.
Yeah. She was like,
yeah,
I'll lead with yes. my breath.
I had a good friend in Hungary. She was like, whatever your best thing is, put that out there first. Look mm-hmm. at me. I got great legs. I'm like, yeah, you always wear a miniskirt. She's like, that's it.
That's what I got.
And I wear a turtleneck on top.
right.
You know.
And so when somebody says here, next time a man asks you why your boobs are saggy, ask him why his balls are saggy.
Are men really being yeah. this forward
yeah,
now?
Yeah, they're being that
they should,
forward.
You know what? They've had too much access to boobs. Ladies, put them away. They've seen them too much. They need to be happy when they see them again.
Yeah, well, these young women who are beautiful, they post pictures of themselves, and then if their boobs are saggy, then they get a slew of horrible
really?
Comments from these guys.
Wow.
Men do not see women as people until you remind them of the women they have close proximity to.
Mm-hmm. Who have saggy boobs.
So when they fail to understand that this is, that they have to be mindful of when hurling insults about me and my body, because other women who look like me are seeing these comments.
I think the other thing, too, is...
But that's also another issue.
That's another issue. But one thing, when you put images of yourself out there, you have to be ready for the nastiness that you're going to get. Mm-hmm. This is just the horrible world that we live in. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it does... But these, you know, anonymous armchair critics.
That's what I'm saying. Those people are out there. Yeah. So when you put imagery of yourself out there, just know that there's nasty trolls out there, like this guy with his quad setup mm-hmm. of doing stuff like that. But also my thing was, and I always push back on this, we don't all have to be beautiful. Everything doesn't have to be beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
It's
yeah,
not that important. Rowan Atkinson, goddamn.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like the man, Sarah Jessica Parker. These people work in yeah. entertainment.
Steve Buscemi.
Look at them.
Yeah,
Steve Buscemi said one time he didn't even want to get his teeth fixed because that's that's work. Like, he's getting work looking like, you know what I'm saying? With those little chiclets.
Yeah, but the other thing is, like, these guys, there are some guys in the camp like, I'm a good guy. I love my wife. I love my daughters. And they only, but those rules, like, you know, respect his
oh,
wife
they don't
and
transfer
daughter,
it over to anybody
to
else.
Anybody else.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
just
no,
these people.
Just these people.
And maybe their friend. Someone they work with who's cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, no. Not even the friend. I think it's more ownership. It's the ownership
the
of
family,
the wife and the family.
Or the girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah. Whoever is in close proximity that does something for this man.
I think these guys have seen too many boobs too easily. When we were kids, a saggy tit in the 70s,
yeah.
guys couldn't wait.
Yeah.
Look at it. Look at a porn from the 70s. People are hirsute as yeah. fuck. Nobody cared. Dude, I mean, people didn't care.
Yeah.
Also, too, I think young women really, that like, it's. I agree with them, but they need to get away from this male gaze thing.
Yeah.
You put a picture of yourself out there and you think you look nice, and someone makes a negative comment, you got to brush it off. Mm. My mother used to always say, it's, you know, not just beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but some people, you just can't tell them they're not cute.
Right? Some people,
no matter what they look like, they always feel good. You have to be like that. You know, you have to be like, I look good, I look fine. Because again, Sarah Jessica Parker.
Well, then they say also, but we will have to learn that the only way to normalize something is to see it repeatedly. So putting those images out there and saying, hey, this looks
maybe,
good.
But maybe some people also just don't like a saggy boob. Maybe some people don't like a perky boob.
I think that
you
there's
know what I mean?
there's a lot of...
Or a small boob.
There is a lot of, hey, society says this is good looking.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, a lot of people, men and women, will say, this is what I'm going to do. Like, women will starve themselves and go through surgeries to look a certain way, even though it's expensive and painful.
Yeah.
And they don't really like it.
But the thing is like, we can't, like, this is why I'm in favor of just making beauty not the powerful thing that it is.
Yeah.
Because it fades so quickly.
It does fade
and
quickly.
And it is 100% in the eye of the beholder.
But a lot of guys won't date women who are not society's
good.
Image.
Those men should be not have kids.
Well, if
they should be cleansed from the gene pool.
Well, they really like different things. They like short girls. They like fat girls. They
yeah.
like people who are, you know, with all kinds of things going on. That's what they really like. But they're not doing it in order
to conform
and have status within the other male
gaze. I also, too, like, as I think about this now, as I get older, looks have never been a big thing for me. And I'm glad, because now that I'm getting older, I'm not one of those women who's like, oh, no, my looks are fading. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
huh, it's the same looks as it was before. They started off faded. They're not going to fade anymore.
Yeah.
Or I just won't have a face at all.
Yeah.
I don't care. You have to have the
you
attitude
have
of it doesn't matter, because there are ugly women and beautiful women. There are ugly women with jobs and a man, and there are beautiful women who are broke and alone.
Right,
vibrator. And the reverse, and everything in between.
Yes, there's all kinds of...
Yeah, it's like that thing, you know, when you're in middle school, and you're like, why is that girl with the hot guy? And you can't figure it out. Because she is, quote-unquote, not hot.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe she gives a good beach. Maybe she's a nice person. Maybe, you know what I mean? Maybe they get along. Yeah. Maybe that's what he's into.
Yeah.
Maybe he likes a tall woman.
Yeah.
Looks like a horse. Who knows? There are some men who like horsey women. I'm just saying.
The thing is,
there's a type.
Yes, but a lot of men will not admit that for their own perception.
And then
they
end up with
that
skinny woman. And then meanwhile, they're like looking, you know, at somebody else like,
Look at that rump.
Look at her take on that sandwich. You know? Meanwhile, they're dealing with watercress over here and, like, you know, a spritzer. It's sad for everybody.
It is. Everybody's sad.
Dudes need to get over, though. Dudes like all... Straight men like any boob. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. Put it in their face and see what happens.
I think that, yes. So dudes need to stop it and get over it and stop being assholes.
Because you're going to see, the more, the nicer you are to women about how they look, the more boob you're going to see.
Yeah. I do not understand how guys have not figured this out.
Yes. If you tell women that they look beautiful, you're going to see a lot more nudity.
Yeah.
Casual. Just be cool about it.
Yeah.
Don't stare. Just let it go by.
Yeah.
Let it go by. Women already are complaining because they want to be topless in the park. And cops are busting them. Why?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Because, on the other hand, that is like the power thing where men have to put
But now
women
you're not
down.
Seeing a boob.
Yes. I know. But, like, but they feel better because they're like standing taller, so to speak.
But
they're standing on someone's boob is what they're doing.
But take a position on it. Either you want to be an asshole or you want to see boobs. You can't do both. You know what I mean? But you cannot do both. Choose one. And if I were a guy, I would choose boobs. I would choose boobs. I'm telling you
All right, everyone. All right. That's our message to you.
Choose boobs. Hashtag. All right. And good for these ladies with their saggy boobs.
Yeah, good for them.
I mean, I never cared. I'm like, whatever.
I don't care either. I have a certain amount of like, in my own vanity, but then I laugh at myself. Like,
yeah.
Are you kidding?
And also, too, I'm not going to take that. Katie's better than me. She's more demure. She puts herself together and takes more time with it. But there's only so much time.
There's only so much I can do. I mean, how much time
for me,
day?
I feel like I'm giving it 10 minutes, and whatever I can do in 10 minutes, that's it for the
day. I give myself 15 minutes for makeup.
Okay. Wow. Okay. I just did 10 minutes for the whole thing. Fro, makeup.
Oh.
That's why sometimes I just go out with, like, a light lip.
Yeah.
It's only combed in the front.
No, 10 minutes, and then I give 15 minutes for hair, and then I'm done.
Wow!
And then that's it.
All right.
I can blow it dry.
But that's still a lot of time.
Yeah.
You imagine for some of these women who are out there who are really into it.
Yeah. And I'm not into it. I mean, like, I show up at work and my eye and makeup is running. My hair is all blown around.
But you had it on.
I had it on and I'm not touching it.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep that makeup running down my face. And my
like tears of a clown.
Yeah. And my hair's tangled. And that's all you get.
But you did it.
I did it.
For the women out there who put it together every day, I give you props. You're artists. We ain't doing it.
Yeah.
We're not going to do it, though. All right, what do you have? That was awesome. Thank you, Lauren G.
Yes, thank you, Lauren G.
Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is, frankly, thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin box of wine.
All right, so Michael F.
Yes, Michael F. But with what do we get? Five piece of some advice.
Michael F. One of our power listeners.
Yes, he doesn't just listen. He listens hard, son. He listens to the F out of this podcast.
He does.
Yeah,
he does. Came
that's
at
what
us
the F is it. For. We're hard listening. Yeah.
So got in touch with us and gave us several links to advice.
Okay,
and
so we're doing Advice on Advice. It's a segment where Michael F. sends in some advice that is unqualified.
And it stinks.
And we like to improve upon it by giving our advice on Michael F.'s advice on advice.
Yes, okay, so thank you. This one is called... Okay, so this is called... My son-in-law insulted my son's partner, and it caused a family rift. Okay. So you're going to have to stay with me.
I'm with you.
So the son-in-law is the instigator of the problem. Okay, so our daughter, son-in-law, and granddaughter visited us last year. Mm-hmm. Okay. Our daughter, her husband.
Oh, okay. Why didn't they just say that?
Because they're trying to...
Okay, my daughter and her family. Okay.
Yeah, at the same time as our son, his partner, and another couple.
Okay.
So we got a whole big...
That's household. On you, yeah. But okay.
When we were sitting down to eat, our son-in-law didn't come to the table, but sat outside on the terrace drinking beer.
Okay.
My husband asked why he didn't come to the table, and he said he wasn't hungry.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. After dinner, our son-in-law said he would never trust people in the same profession as my son's partner. He insisted such people were not to be trusted and added some less than complimentary words.
Well, what is this? Okay.
My husband and I felt he was being insulted. We tried to stop him talking, but he kept returning to the subject. Nobody laughed.
Okay.
I didn't know they were going to be jokes.
Yeah, yeah. Did someone try to, crack a couple?
Okay, so the son-in-law is not eating dinner. He won't come to the table, sits outside drinking beer, then comes in and insults.
Okay. What, is he a therapist or something?
I don't know.
I'm trying to think of what profession that could be. An abortionist? Is that even a thing anymore? Abortionist.
Sounds like a magic trick.
I know. Well...
Next morning, I told our son-in-law he had been insulting to our son's partner, and it was unacceptable. Mm-hmm. He said it was a joke, and I did not understand it. We had a short, intense argument.
Wow. F you. All right, that's it. Guns down to your corners.
After many exchanges with my daughter, during which our son-in-law stayed in his bedroom.
These are some extremely formal people that had an exchange.
Yeah.
A short argument. Okay.
Do you notice she's not cutting to the chase on any of this?
No.
She's not saying what he said, what
the job
was,
is, yeah.
You know, what he was drinking.
Yeah.
What kind of beer.
Yeah. Was it Bud Light?
Because that tells you a lot.
That tells you a lot.
She said, it was all my fault for being the way I am and criticizing him for not having social graces.
Mm-hmm. What? Okay.
My husband told her that our son-in-law needs to apologize to our son's partner and to us for being so rude.
People get so, again, with the apology thing, who cares, man? Mm-hmm. It's over. Yeah. All right.
Our daughter sided with her husband, said that he knew that we never liked him and that he would not set foot in our house again. We said our house would always be open to her and her daughter.
But not you.
But not the son-in-law. Everyone's taking it too far. We don't know what's going on.
We have no idea what's going on. This woman needs to go back and learn how to construct a narrative properly.
We have always treated our son-in-law well and accepted him as part of the family. We admire him as he came from a poor family and acquired a good education.
Really? Oh, okay. Really?
As did my husband.
Yeah.
That's what she says. And our son-in-law...
Because no poor people in America can go to school.
Our son-in-law is not demonstrative towards our daughter. Mm-hmm. There is never a sign of tenderness from him towards her. I wonder if he's using her to achieve financial security he would otherwise...
Oh, are these people rich?
Ooh. Since this event, we haven't spoken to our daughter, granddaughter via Skype mm-hmm. when he was not present.
Okay.
Before that, we spoke most weekends. She skipped my birthday and Christmas. We don't believe we deserve this type of treatment. We have a short yearly time together as a family.
Mm-hmm.
So in the past, we kept quiet. Now my husband thinks
we kept quiet. Now he's like, we should have piped up, Thelma. Yeah, yeah. I told you that boy was an ass.
Now my husband thinks we should forget about our daughter. I believe this is too extreme. I understand I cannot make her talk to us or enjoy our previous laughter and conversation.
Make her. You will enjoy these knock-knock jokes, Becky.
It's her choice to take her husband's side. How do we begin to reconnect?
Oh, okay. This is a really difficult one because we don't even know what the profession is.
Yeah, we don't know what the
problem is. Now they're saying he's a gold digger.
Yeah.
You know? Is that where people fall back to when you don't have a lot of money? The wife obviously didn't grow up poor, who's writing this.
Yeah.
Right?
So they're all well-to-do and they're dancing around.
Yeah, they're having a good time. This guy's out on the porch drinking a beer, and I think maybe she mentioned the beer because maybe they were having veuve inside.
Yeah.
Or a nice glass of cognac swirling it around by the fireplace with their witty repartee.
So something else has been going on in this whole thing that makes him, like, I can't even sit at the table.
Yeah, he doesn't want anything to do with them.
Yeah. Huh. It's like, I'm going to drink a beer.
Yeah, and I'm relax. On the porch and just chill out and not say anything.
Yeah, and then he has one too many and comes in and is like, your job stinks.
Yeah.
Your profession
your
is
profession
awful.
Is horrible. What profession could it be?
I think it's a venture capitalist.
Oh, I was thinking maybe he works for Exxon or something.
Yeah.
What if you know, something like that? Some big finance thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows?
These are our guesses.
It's like, what's wrong with the pyramid scheme? You have a problem with that? All right. So let's hear the advice.
Since I have... I have cut the details relating to what your son's partner does for a living as it could identify them. It's safe to say it's a highly skilled job which takes many years of specialist training.
Oh, come on. It could be anything. The guy's a carpenter.
How can you identify?
Just tell us what field it's in. Is it in medical science?
Maybe it's...
It's Dick Cheney. He's the vice president of the United States of America, and they don't want to say anything.
Or maybe it's... certain Vegas magicians who work with big cats.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, it could be something like that. I hadn't thought about that.
Specific like that.
It's Elon Musk.
Yeah,
this guy's like, I don't care about your electric cars. Yeah. Ford, that's a car.
That's a car.
And this is a beer.
Not your fancy bubble water there.
So what? You put a car on the moon? I don't care. Okay. By the way, that's what he did. Let's just be clear. That's what he did with all the tax money. Is he put a friggin' car on the moon?
With tax money?
Yeah. I mean, to Mars or whatever. Yeah, he gets, like, huge tax...
You know. The write-offs.
Yeah, because we don't have money for SNAP, but we have money for this asshole to...
That's right. Yeah, we have no money
to put a car on Venus or whatever.
Yeah, for children's health care. We don't have money for that, but put that convertible with an astronaut in the...
going up there with a flag to be like... You know,
well, it shows people.
I claim this for the fatherland.
It shows people what's possible.
Yes,
it's like, well, what's possible?
Shooting a moon into, shooting a car into space is possible. What are we in the '50s? That sounds like something we would come up with.
I know.
We're gonna run a rocket that's gonna put a car on the moon.
Yeah,
like it's gonna be awesome. Is it a fold-up car, a flying car? Yes, it is. Here's tax money, and you people with your welfare, get away.
Yeah,
you'll get it in the mail. We'll send you some dried beans.
Yeah, we'll send you a box.
A box of dried beans.
A box of dried beans.
But what about this car? Don't you see the trickle-down effects of this? Eventually, you could have your own little, like, Chevette on the moon.
Poor
people.
I'm inspiring you.
Yeah.
With your tax dollars.
With your tax dollars. I feel inspired. That guy's a charlatan.
Yeah.
I want to find out where his lair is.
Elon Musk?
Yeah. He's got an evil lair, if that is Elon Musk.
Ooh, what if that's his alter ego and he's even worse?
Yeah, he's Altered Carbon. If you guys haven't seen Altered Carbon, it's about, it's this great science fiction show. The premise is, look how evil people become when they live too long, Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney, emphasis my own.
Okay.
It's about what happens when rich people can live forever.
Ew.
I think we're seeing that now in office, right?
Yeah, like, I think so.
Yeah. So in any case, what's the advice?
All right. There's no denying that your son-in-law sounds like a difficult man. Your longer letter says he has changed jobs many times and seems to badmouth the past employees, which hints at a man who can't possibly take responsibility for his half of things.
Okay.
Sounds to me like your son-in-law has several issues and can feel threatened by people, especially those who have made something of themselves. I guess it must be confusing and upsetting that your daughter chose him as a husband. She would be very happy. Let's hope he magically transforms when he's at home with her.
Really? No.
You're right. Your husband's suggestion is extreme and unnecessary. I'd like to know a little more about your husband in general. Is he very black and white about things? Just like children, one cannot make adults meaningfully say sorry. It's a process that has to be arrived at naturally.
Yeah. You can't just say, saying sorry means nothing. You have to be sorry.
So while your son-in-law should not have behaved like this in the first place and should have apologized, insisting someone says sorry doesn't work. I think your son's partner had the best approach to the evening. She was diplomatic, despite feeling insulted.
Wow.
I thought it was interesting that your daughter said that you had never liked him and wonder if this is true.
He knows, I mean, this is what I love about this kind of thing is you're assuming that this guy is a complete, has no emotional intelligence whatsoever. He knows you don't like him.
Yeah.
He knows you've never liked him.
Yeah.
He'd be more than happy if he never saw any of you again and he could just live with his wife and child. He might be a good husband and a good father. We don't know.
Yeah. But when you're around people who don't like you and it's like simmering under the surface, that's nasty.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to take.
I hope that the situation isn't that this guy is from a different, has a different cultural background. And I'm not just talking about race. It could be anything. Where he just is not a good fit.
Yeah.
Quote unquote for the family. Yeah,
right?
These people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, hey, is this true? In your longer letter, I picked up on this. Even if you haven't said anything, she will have felt this. I wonder what the dynamic is between her and her brother, and if it looked to her, if you're favoring your brother's choice of partner over hers.
Probably.
Yeah. Hmm. While your son-in-law's behavior was spectacularly rude.
Yeah.
The detail of him not coming in for dinner is less easy to forgive than the comment about your partner's job. The ensuing row... it can cause massive schisms in the family. This is how families become estranged.
That's fascinating. So I can't, once again, having grown up in a non-family family, mm-hmm. and my family doesn't have any of this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't get this. Like, what is the thing with always cutting everybody off all of a sudden? That seems like something rich people do to me.
You're cut off.
You know what I mean? I don't think regular, dude, like low class and middle class people
is
like.
Yeah, people are estranged.
I'm going to get cut off from this rancher? I'm not going to get this.
No, it's being cut off doesn't mean just possessions. It just means estrangement means that you do not.
But they barely see them as it is.
Yeah.
So if you see somebody once a year, you know, and they're like, you know what, don't come back next year. It's like, all right.
Yeah. But it's the idea. This is family. And then to like have that in your, like to acknowledge that you're not going to see your family anymore.
Why can't they just go without him?
It's kind of, that's...
Yeah, but let's be honest. If you do not get along with your partner's family, why make everybody miserable, including yourself? And also, they have a kid.
Right. And if you don't like your partner, your daughter or son's partner, you're not going to be able to really hide it. And then sitting there going, oh, yeah, you're fine, you know, and, like, denying the hatred.
Yeah.
And then...
That's what I'm saying. This guy is not stupid. He sat outside for a reason.
Yeah.
He probably was like, you know, I'm going to go, and no, they're at it again. I'm just going to sit outside.
Yeah.
I'm not going to insist that we leave.
Yeah.
Because that's ridiculous.
I need to remove myself.
Yeah, I need to remove myself. Otherwise, I'm going to put my foot so deep in that whatever, but that car mechanic's ass.
It's that gaslighting thing. Like, when you're in a situation where people don't like you, and you know it, and then if you call it out, they're like, no, what are you talking about? You're just being sensitive. You're just being
Why this. Can't you're we do... I'm all for honesty. Hey, man, we don't like each other, but let's get through this meal. Do you want a beer? Thanks.
Yeah.
Like, we'll see you next year. That's not bad, though. Very interesting. I wish I knew what the...
Yeah.
Michael F., you've sent us a mystery.
Yes.
We will never know what this guy's profession is.
A mystery.
What? How offensive could it be? Was he a funeral director?
No. I don't think so. A mystery wrapped in an enigma, wrapped in a puzzle.
Yes.
Thank you, Michael F.
Thank you, Michael F.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.